Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are pretty good at word games, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
Jonah, I was really excited about our guest today, and I was trying to think of a fun story to talk about. And, you know, I know our guest today because we all appeared together, fun fact, on the same episode of Will and Grace. God, I don't know. This was probably like maybe 4 years ago. We're thinking four. We were all on this episode of Will and Grace, and something that comes up a lot when I'm filming stuff that is sort of rooted in my childhood is that I love free snacks, and I just truly can never get enough free snacks in a way that you'd go, oh, like, do you outgrow this when you like become a person who's on TV and you have like money to buy like whatever snacks you want? Absolutely not. Okay. And I experienced this on a smaller level when I worked in an ad agency in Chicago. I remember like when we would have clients come in, there would be like a spread from somewhere. And as soon as the clients would leave, everybody in the office would like run to the leftover snacks. So I don't think I'm alone in wanting free snacks. But anyways, when we did Will and Grace together, I played this baker and I was selling all these baked goods in my bakery, and they had like the most incredible baked goods. And so we were filming all week, like even rehearsals, they would have them. And I kept being like, what are you guys going to do with these? And they were like, oh, you can take them if you want. And I was like, no way, whatever. And then we finally filmed the episode because you like kind of rehearse all week. And then you, I think you film on like Friday or something. So we filmed the episode on a Friday, and there were all of these baked goods from my quote unquote bakery. And they were like, do you want to take these home? And I was like, well, yeah, I get whatever. So like, here I am, the classiest of the classy, carrying like a huge like box of pastries out of my first time guest starring on Will and Grace, like just making it probably an incredible impression on everybody. But I took these snacks home, and by home, I mean, I was staying with our cousin Mia because I didn't live in LA yet. And I was just eating pastries for days and days and days. And then one day I left and I went to, maybe I was doing another job. I can't remember where I went. And I got back and Mia, our cousin, was like, "Vanessa, I had to throw away the pastries. I was worried you were going to get sick." Not out of eating too many of them. Not because I was eating too many, but because she was like, "Vanessa, they've been here for like a week now. Like you can't, they don't last forever."
Yeah.
And that was a real lesson because a lot of that stuff has so much oil and fat and stuff in it. You're like, it lasts, you know, but at a certain point you have to go, is it worth making myself sick? Again, not from eating too many of them, which is another way to get sick, but getting sick from them being stale.
And I can attest, if you go to Vanessa's house, you will open her fridge. She'll be like, "What is this?" She'll be like, "I don't know. I got this stuff somewhere. I got all these weird Starbucks, like double shot vanilla lattes. I got all this stuff. I just took it and just put it. It will be in here probably till the end of time."
But to be fair, that stuff is non-perishable.
Right.
I don't want people to think I have like a hoarder's refrigerator.
Sure.
Where it's like old bottles of soy sauce and stuff, which I did have to throw out a bunch of soy sauce yesterday. Okay. Now we are so excited about our guests today. They are a true Hollywood power couple. One is a stand-up comedian, actor, and screenwriter that you may know from his hilarious comedy specials or his work on movies and shows, including The Goldbergs, AP Bio, Veep. The other is an actress you may have originally discovered in the nostalgic film The Journey of Natty Gann, but who's gone on to appear in movies and shows such as Happy and characters in animated films such as The Secret Life of Pets 2, Teen Titans Go to the Movies, and you can catch both of them on their wonderful podcast, Did You Get My Text? Please welcome Patton Oswalt and Meredith Salinger.
Yay!
Hello!
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 I want Kermit to be like, yeah!
Okay, first off, I have to say something about your week at Will and Grace, the one that where Meredith and I were both there.
They had the best craft service.
Yes. Okay, but here's the thing. Meredith and I stupidly were doing a cleanse that week. I remember this very distinctly.
Oh my God.
It was either like an Arbonne cleanse or I don't know what it was. It was one of those, you know, prepackaged little foods and you know, little soups and stuff.
Because we've done like every brand. We've done every cleanse.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
I had forgotten how over the top they go with the catering at Will and Grace. It is basically like you're in a cheesecake factory all week.
Right.
The selection of foods, especially on show night, is ridiculous.
The chicken croquettes.
Yes.
Remember those?
Ridiculous.
Oh, God. Everything was so good.
And I think on show night, when we finished doing our scene, if I remember correctly, I know I was like, screw it. I deserve a reward. And I went over and just hogged out at the, I grabbed things. It was just too good. I wasn't not going to have something. It was so tasty.
Yeah, you're right. It's so funny that I was fixated on the baked goods when there was so much other, oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys were on a cleanse.
But being Will and Grace, I bet they went to some high-end bakery, like, you know,
yes,
Aunt Joy's Kitchen or something, and got that place out in Glendale that does those amazing cakes and pies, and it just must have been crazy.
I don't know if they, because they like visually looked so good, they were all so huge.
Yeah.
It would be like a croissant that was like the size of your head. Like it was like all these like huge things. And I was like, I can't leave these here. I'm like, what are you going to do with them?
Right.
And it was so crazy that they were just like, if you want, you can take them home. I was like, yeah, I wanted to.
Yeah, it's a waste. What are they going to do? Throw them away?
Yeah, might have company over.
They would have taken them home, hopefully.
I don't know. You're right, though. They had such great food there. And the other thing that I remember that I was so into was they had a few things in almost like, you know, when you put like a quarter in a machine or something and you like turn the knob and like bubble gums come, you know, what am I talking
gumballs,
about?
Gumballs.
Gumballs. I'm reversing the words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A gumball machine. And you put a quarter in and like a few gumballs come out, or a big gumball comes out.
Right.
They had those, but with like trail mix. They had one. It was like mostly, it was M&M's nuts and raisins.
Oh, I don't like that mix.
Oh, I love that mix.
I love that mix, but I just don't.
Like separate them.
Well, I don't like the raisins. So I don't eat the raisins. And that makes me feel like I'm like, oh, I'm so good because I'm avoiding the sugar, when the real sugar's in the M&M's, you know?
Like, why not have them separate? People who want raisins,
right,
people who want
M&M's, right, right.
And people who want the Chex mix. Like, let's make our own.
I hear you. I totally hear you.
Yeah.
But I would get like a big cup of it and I'd just eat it and I'd be like, this cup seems bigger than it is because I'm not going to eat the raisin. Do you see my reasoning there?
Fair enough. I see what you're saying. I have a question. So all three of you have been on a lot of television shows.
Mm-hmm.
Is the catering tied to the budget of the show, or do some shows with lower budgets have amazing catering?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Absolutely. And by the way, it also has to do with who is on the show and who do they have access to. I did 5 episodes of Hollywood Squares back in the late 90s, Whoopi Goldberg being the center square because she was producing the show, and Whoopi called in favors, and the whole thing was catered by Wolfgang Puck.
Whoa. Oh my God.
Because that's how she did it, and it was amazing.
I've done lots of independent movies with sleeves of saltines and some fruit boy. Punch.
Yeah. You know, I did Modern Family once, and I don't remember this. They filmed so quickly.
Yes.
I was there for probably like a total of 3 hours. Like, it was so quick. But I heard that they were getting like lobster and stuff. Like, they had crazy stuff there. I think if a show is really successful and it's like a network show like that and they have so much money, they just go all out. I mean, I think, yeah, like what you're saying, Jonah, like Will and Grace was so successful that I think they just had
crazy good catering.
Can tell the success of a show by the catering.
By the craft service. It was ridiculous. Okay. Yeah.
I'm used to being around bands and music, and you usually get like some carrots and hummus and a couple bottles of water, and that's sort of it.
I have been in many a green room in music clubs, and boy, that can be really grim.
Yeah.
That can be a very grim situation.
Totally. On my show, I was kind of avoiding the craft services because I was trying to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. And then one day I went and I realized that they had every kind of bar. Like, they had Cliff Bars. They had, what are those bars that
Luna
are?
Luna Bars.
Luna Bars. How did you guys know that that's what I was thinking of?
We're like this.
That's so incredible. I was going to say bars made for women. Wasn't that initially how they made Luna Bars?
Oh,
Is that?
They marketed them towards women at one
like
point.
Like Activa yogurt. They marketed Activa toward women also.
They sort of made it seem like Luna Bars had like, not estrogen in them, but like almost like something in them that was like, they were really good for women.
Okay.
They had RX Bars, which... not a cheap bar, as we all know.
Or maybe
Yeah. So it was really, I was like, okay, this bar game is on point. What were you going to say, Meredith?
No, I was just thinking of all the bars I like and I got all excited. I was just thinking of a Tiger Milk bar. That's literally a candy bar, though. Like, it was called Protein Rich.
Right.
And so I used to be like, Mom, it's Protein Rich. Can we get that? Because it's got protein.
First off, they are all candy bars.
Yes.
All of them. There are no healthy
bars. A Tiger's Milk
bar
is real candy bar material.
Ew, we got to get a Kind bar. That's really, Kind bar is literally held together with sugar paste. It's basically a payday bar. they don't even bother to hide it anymore. Just have a candy bar.
I agree. We talk about Kudos a lot on this show. Those
Right.
They never tried to market those. I mean, that was kind of before protein bars existed, but man, were Kudos good. And also, we've talked about how it's such a like mature, sophisticated name for a bar that was almost exclusively in children's lunch bags.
It's true.
What adults were like, you brought them in your lunch. You brought Kudos bars.
Yeah.
And we're all just a bunch of sophisticated kids going, what a delicious Kudos bar.
Drinking a Boku, eating a Kudos.
Drinking a Boku.
Give your kids a Quorum bar in their lunch. It's all candy bars. It's all they are.
Yeah.
All candy bars.
I was home in Cleveland visiting our parents, and my mom, she started getting really into this app called Bobby Approved. And it's this guy, Bobby, and he goes into different grocery stores and he like tells you what you should buy, what's good for you, what has a ton of sugar in it. And you can scan items in the grocery store or at home and see if they're Bobby approved or not. And if they're not Bobby approved, it says like what ingredients like are not Bobby approved. And Bobby does a whole thing about protein bars. And you're right. He says like most of them are like basically candy bars, except a few.
Yeah, there's a guy on Instagram who does these videos and I'm blank. It's like something fresh or flavor. And
yeah, that's him. Bobby approved site is Flav City.
Bobby. Oh, Flav City. Okay. And he goes in and his arch nemesis is apparently palm oil. Boy, does he hate palm oil.
Yeah.
So do orangutans.
So do orangutans.
He also hates malodextrate that's in cereal, the preservative in cereal. He said there's a better one that's actually pure vitamin E. I can't think of the name of it right now. But what were you going to say, Patton?
Well, like you said about the bars, there's a video where he's at the shelf of all the different bars. And usually when he's in the other videos, he's like, these three are good. These drinks are good. And when he gets to the bars, he goes, these are all bad. It's all candy bars. Just stop eating bars. None of these. It's all bad. Like he has nothing. There's nothing to be had there. Don't eat any of them. You're basically eating a candy bar.
You know what bar I've started eating that he actually is Bobby approved because I scanned it?
Three Musketeers. No.
This is an expensive bar that has to be refrigerated if it's left out for more than 7 days.
Damn.
The bar I'm talking about, and if they'd like to sponsor us, we'd be more than happy, is Elemental Bars. Have you tried those?
Never heard of them.
No. Is it delicious?
They're pretty delicious. And honestly, you guys, they're Bobby approved.
Really?
Wow.
So hang on. Bobby did approve a bar.
Bobby approved this bar. And I think there were a couple other, you know, Jonah's a big Go Macro bar person.
Oh.
He approves some of the Go Macro bars.
Oh, some of them.
It's probably whichever bar company pays him or something. It's what he
Jonah,
approves.
Don't say that about Bobby. That's not fair.
Our mom was giving us this lot. I was like, is it Bobby Flay? And she's like, no, it's this other guy. And I don't know.
Bobby Flay wishes.
I think a lot of this stuff seems probably pretty common sense, right?
There's like sunflower oil or something in some Go Macro bars and not in others, just to go back to this really quickly, which is why he approves some of them over others.
Oh, okay. Again, every time there's someone like that in my mind, I'm always like, I want to wait till 3 or 4 years down the road when then the thing gets exposed that he was paid by these company and it's all another scam. Like,
yep.
Everything now, I've been so overwhelmed by how everything has been a scam that any new thing that comes along, I'm just like, I'm just going to wait till we find out this person's horrible. Like everyone that I was always excited about, they just end up being horrible. I hope he isn't.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that's going to hang back a little bit and let's see what happens with Bobby.
Fair enough. I think that's reasonable. Patton, I wanted to tell you too, I actually found an interview I did with you in 2007.
For what?
For Alternative Press.
Oh my God.
Oh, in 2007.
I used to work there. I was a music editor from 02 to 05.
No kidding. Oh,
cool. Yep. In Cleveland. It was a review of Werewolves and Lollipops. I really liked it. And I asked you how you got into independent music. You said the Repo Man soundtrack at 14 saved your life. That's true?
Absolutely saved my life. I was a little Northern Virginia, suburban, like caged veal, no idea of the outside world. And so I did that classic thing of 1994, the Repo Man soundtrack came out, which I listened to. And then I spent that summer telling everyone about this new thing called punk rock. And everyone around me was like, yeah, Patton, you're okay, great. They're like, you could see the, do we tell him or are we just happy that he's into it? Like, let's just let him enjoy it. But, you know, like I discovered punk rock literally 6 years after it happened. Like, how is this new thing for me?
Yeah, that's so funny.
And it was all West Coast punk rock, but it was all West Coast. It wasn't even British or New York.
Okay.
It was all the West Coast bands.
Because you were near the DC scene, but you couldn't go there.
Couldn't get there. So I didn't get to see any of the, none of them. None of,
wait,
Black
couldn't
Flag.
Get there because you were a little kid? Why couldn't you get there?
I was a little kid and then I didn't have a car and you just didn't, unless somebody was willing to take you into the city.
Like you were a little kid and then you were a person who could drive but didn't have a car?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I was young and broke in the suburbs and all my friends were like,
do they not have like buses and trains and stuff?
They
like
had
that?
Nothing. Now there's literally a subway stop in my old neighborhood, but at the time it was the 70s and 80s. It was this suburb of DC with no bus line, no nothing.
Oh my God, what a sad, sad childhood.
All my friends that were like, I was like, let's go into the city. And they're like, let's stay in the garage and do whippets. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so it wasn't really.
You guys are both really into punk music and now you're also both really into Bobby.
Totally, yeah. Bobby's my best friend and punk rock is my favorite kind of music. The Electric Mayhem is my favorite band. They're the Muppet band.
Oh, yeah.
I like, you know, old Led Zeppelin.
Well, Jonah will tell you, being into punk rock early will lead you right into Bobby and Nutrition. They're the same thing. It's just an adjunct of Straight Edge. That's as far as I'm concerned.
For sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with Patton and Meredith.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah.
Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Jonah, when you were writing for Alternative Press, you were also living in Cleveland and writing for it there?
Yeah, we're from Cleveland originally, and then I moved back to work at AP.
Wow. So you were there for Cleveland at that time. That was a really interesting, like, post-70s music scene coming up. I'm envious. That must have been really cool to get to live there then.
I think my friend Aaron might have made a poster for you there that, well, I remember seeing a show poster that I saw around a lot.
Yes.
He goes by OK Pants, yeah.
OK Pants! Aaron Sechrest. He did...
Aaron Sechrest, yeah.
He did a poster for a gig I have coming up. He's the best.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's great.
I love him.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Anyway, yeah, OK Pants. Love him. He's done so many posters for me.
We've gone from punk to Bobby to Aaron.
Exactly, man.
So many.
You know, that was the line from the Who's My Generation. I hope I die before I get into health bars. Like, that was his big worry. You don't want to get too old and get into health bars because that's embarrassing.
I mean.
Yes, yes. So the theme of this podcast is nostalgia. And before we get into the topic, Meredith, I won't take anything away from your podcast with Pam, but we know you just went to your college reunion.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Can you talk about that a little? Because Vanessa goes to her reunions. I'm not a big reunion person, but I'm just curious how your experience was.
Yeah, I've never been to a reunion before.
Okay.
I've been to one high school reunion, and this was my first college reunion. It was my 30th. I didn't go to all the other ones. I felt like at the beginning, like the 5 year, the 10 year, I was like, I'm friends with the people I want to be friends with. Like, I don't need to go back and meet people I never knew. What's the point? But then like my 20th and my 25th, I'm like, I'm single. Everyone else is married. Like, everybody has kids. Am I really going to come back and be that girl where everyone's like, what's going on in your life? Are you dating anyone? And I would have been like, ugh. So then, yeah. So I thought 30th, let's go. I've been married for 5 years. I have a cute little girl. There's stuff to talk about. Things are better. I don't know. It was great. And I met someone fabulous.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I did.
Not at the reunion.
At the reunion.
Oh, at the reunion.
Yes. There was a girl that went to school with me. She was in my class. but I never met her. And now she's like the most important person in the world. And she's like, our democracy hinges on her. Justice Ketanji Brown was in my class at Harvard.
Oh, whoa.
And I got to meet her and we had a really great long chat and it was amazing. And she's so sweet and cool and nice. And like, I love her so much. And I was like, I'm so happy you exist. But we got into like a long, good conversation, like girly conversation too. But yeah, that was very exciting.
That's incredible.
I did a panel on the first day of the reunion. I was asked to do a panel. And the girl that I was sitting next to on the panel was this beautiful lawyer who was Ketanji's roommate. Her whole rooming group, they were all lawyers. Like they all became brilliant, genius lawyers, all of them. And so then she introduced me to Ketanji later. She's like, you have to meet the girl I was on the panel with, blah, 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 blah.
Wow. That's incredible.
I know. Got very excited about that.
Yeah. I've actually only been to one reunion as well. I've only been to one high school reunion and it was over Thanksgiving and it was the year that I got on SNL.
So it was like, yeah. You go when there's something good happening.
There you go.
I had been on SNL for like 2 months and it was like over Thanksgiving break.
Nice.
So it was like a really well timed. But the thing was like, everyone in my high school was like pretty nice. Like I didn't feel like I was like coming back with like anything to prove. Like it wasn't like I was like,
right.
You guys were mean to me and now I'm on SNL.
Right.
It was like,
no,
you guys were nice to me. And I guess thanks to your support and
and they're happy for you
and kindness, I've now gone on to have success. So anyways, it was really fun. And I love talking about being in high school, being in middle school. I mean, Jonah and I went to the same school from like kindergarten through senior year.
Ooh. Wow.
And I still am really close with like a bunch of my closest friends are still friends from growing up. But one thing that we wanted to talk about today was field trips. And we, I don't know about you guys, I absolutely loved going. I felt like field trips were the most fun thing of all time, especially on the rare occasions that our mom would be one of the like chaperones on the field trip. Oh. And then you'd be like,
you like that?
Okay, my mom's coming to school with me. That's actually awesome. Which Jonah, I don't know if you remember this, but mom used to also kind of work with like the computer guy in like Moreland Hills or Pepper Pike. So like sometimes when you'd be like walking down the hallway from lunch or something, I'd like see mom and she'd be like assisting these students in the computer room. And I'd be like, okay, this rocks. I loved it.
I don't remember that. It's almost like we lived in alternate reality because I don't remember any of this.
But do you remember, I don't remember a specific field trips mom came on, but do you remember her being on any of yours? No.
No, I don't. What field trip do you remember her being at?
I don't remember. I should have asked her before we did this, but I don't remember specific ones. But one place that we used to go to, which I've tried to do some research on field trips, was this museum in Cleveland where they had like an enormous tooth and you could like walk into the tooth and learn about like it would be like here are the gums, like they like do this and this.
Oh, I would have loved that.
It was so cool.
Wow.
And I was like, the best field trip we ever took was what I think was the Health Museum, which is now called Health Space Cleveland. I was doing some research and I found an article that says big tooth extracted to be replaced with giant head.
Oh, what?
So I guess they got rid of this tooth. And this article, which was in roadsideamerica.com news, says the Cleveland Health Education Museum is undergoing radical surgery to save it from a near fatal case of attendance dropsy. And it's like, guys.
Oh, guys.
If you're so interested in doing comedy, maybe find another outlet.
Dropsy is kind of a grim disease.
And it said the venerable Cleveland, Ohio Museum had lately failed to bring in the crowds, despite the presence of a giant tooth, large veiny eyeball, and the theater of human sexuality. I don't remember the last two things. And so it says the entire building was demolished for a new facility. And basically, the original museum was created in the 1940s from exhibits used in the 1939 New York World's Fair. Anyways, the point is, the new museum is called Health Space Cleveland. In 2007, they merged with the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. So anyways, I don't know if that means anything to anyone, but the point is this honestly asshole writing this article and take a hike.
Well, just clearly, like you said, the frustrated comedy writer. I'm sure that there have been submissions made to The Onion that got returned and he's still bitter about it. Oh, yikes.
Field trips were, though, the best.
I agree. It was so fun to get to leave school with your friends.
I remember when I was really little, we went to on a field trip to Alvera Street. I'm from Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
And Alvera Street is like,
wow.
Is it still there?
Oh, very much.
Do you guys have heard of it?
I haven't heard of
it. It's like a historic area where like Mexico and California used to, it was like the-
When California was basically a pueblo or a mission.
They kept the whole area.
Alvera Street started as like a marketplace and it's still the same architecture and everything is still down there and it's pretty gorgeous.
And they would sell like sombreros and those like marionette puppets. And then you'd get those Astro Pops. Do you know those? They were like lollipops, but they were shaped like an upside down ice cream cone with a tip. It was pointy on top. It was like red and then it got yellow and then it got green at the bottom and it was just like a lollipop. It was like my favorite thing.
Totally. Totally.
I remember that our class was just running around Alvera Street. It was so fun.
Yeah, we got to go to the West Side Market once with our art class.
I was just going to say that we went to the West Side Market and we would take pictures of people at this outdoor market and then we'd have to like paint them or something.
Yeah, it was for art class.
Oh,
cool.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. Patton, do you have any kind of field trip memories?
I didn't want to jump in early because I'm very, very spoiled when it comes to field trips, only because I grew up in Northern Virginia. So in our immediate area, literally our school was next to Civil War battlefields.
Oh, my God.
We could take a 5-minute walk and be where 5,000 guys got slaughtered. So there were all these. I mean, Broad Run was the site of a Civil War battle, but also it was a 20-minute bus ride into Washington, D.C., so we could go to the Air and Space Museum. We could go to the Mint. We could go to, like, you know, the Natural History Museum with the gigantic, the Smithsonian with the huge blue whale. I mean, it was just nonstop coolness that we had access to. So, you know, field trips for us, it's not that we were jaded, but we always had great field trips because of where we got to go see the pandas, for God's sakes. We got to see pandas at the National Zoo. And you'd buy a little knit panda souvenir. And the little panda souvenirs were that the heads were perfect. They would fit in all the, I would collect those little plastic football helmets from all the teams and the football helmets would fit perfectly in the little panda's head. And I would make it look like a little superhero. Like you would have a little, I wouldn't put the sticker on the side of the plastic thing. I would draw my own design on the side.
You are so cute.
Like that was his little thing that I would have. Oh boy, it was nuts.
That is so cute. I like the gift shops at all those museums. Like, like if it's science museum, it's like they have all that space food.
Oh yeah.
They have like the ice cream.
Yeah.
That dehydrated ice cream.
Yes.
That was really amazing.
At the Air and Space Museum, this, I don't know if they still have this, but back in the 70s and 80s, not only did they have the freeze-dried ice cream, they thought the public would be excited to eat. And I guess they were because it was still a novelty. You could buy the astronaut food, not just the ice cream, but the actual entrees. You could purchase like the weird thing that you would like squeeze one side of the thing and it would put water in and it would hydrate it. And then you would.
So gross.
God awful. But it was so exciting. Like, this is what astronauts ate. And you're like, yeah, I don't know why you're selling this, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just going to say when you were talking about energy bars before, the space food sticks. And I don't know if anyone remembers that. I was born in the 70s and they were like these protein, carbohydrates and fat all perfectly proportioned.
Right.
And they were so good. They look like kind of long Tootsie Rolls, but with like a more cakey consistency. And I just remember I went off to camp and I wasn't allowed to have any, you know, they weren't allowed to send care packages to camp, but my sister would like write letters and then smush the space food stick in between the and send it like that because I was so obsessed with it. And they don't make, Pillsbury made it and then they stopped making it and then they came out with like a throwback, whatever it's called, vintagey kind of.
And it wasn't the same.
Different formula. But everything's a different formula. Like Twinkies are different.
Pillsbury did this? Was it Pillsbury or Dunkin'? Who did the space food, those
it was Pillsbury in 1970.
Oh man,
it was a non-frozen balanced energy snack in rod form. Rod.
It was basically, it was just, it's cookie dough.
Yeah.
It's basically cookie dough.
It was like cakey Tootsie Rolly cookie dough.
I for sure remember there being more than just space ice cream at. We had like a NASA in Cleveland that we would go.
Oh, no kidding.
We did have a NASA. Vanessa's friend's dad worked there, right?
Wow.
Our neighbor, Sasha Ross, who we've talked about on here before because she's a periodontist now, who we go to for our teeth cleanings, even though she can do a lot more than that.
If you're in Los Angeles, my dad's a dentist.
Oh my God.
That's why I was excited about your tooth museum.
Got it, got it. By the way, I want to be clear that Sasha doesn't do our teeth cleanings because she's a periodontist, but we go to her office for
Forgive me. Yes, periodontist is much better.
She's done periodontal work on our mom. Anyways.
Nice.
So the point is, that Sasha's dad was a literal, this was the joke that we would always make about Howard, Sasha's dad. He was a rocket scientist. Well, okay, I paused for laughs. And I wasn't really pausing for laughs, so I was pausing for awe. Because you know how you go like, you know, the classic phrase of, what do you think, I'm a rocket scientist? Mm-hmm. He was one. And actually, he was really good. He would like tutor me in a lot of like, particularly in physics.
Yeah, but then would you say something like, I mean, he's no brain surgeon. He's a rocket scientist. He's no brain surgeon.
Well, I probably could have gotten him good with that, but I actually think I'm not sure that brain surgeons are more knowledgeable, but I don't know, but they're all very smart. But he was so smart and he worked at NASA. It was like so cool because Sasha's dad is like, where is he going today? Oh, just NASA.
Just NASA.
It's going to go to NASA.
Oh, just NASA.
But like, I remember us going there on field trips and stuff. The other thing is like, it's so good that like kids don't have credit cards and stuff in general, because like kids are such little consumers. Like I do remember just like going to those gift stores and just like being like, you just feel like such a little adult and you're like, maybe I can get a gift for my sister. And like, maybe like, it's so fun to like shop while you're at school.
Then there's that one kid who actually shoplifts in the class. Oh, yeah. And like steals a little something and then shows you. And that's happened to me before. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. You can't do that. Yeah. You have to go put that back. And then they're like, oh, it's the worst. Oh, I remember this one girl who did that. And I was just dying. And I was just like, I'm such a goody goody. I was like trying to tell her to put it back, but then also like being afraid, but I wanted to tell the teacher, but I didn't want her to hate me. And I was just like, oh.
I don't know if you remember this, Jonah. You probably wouldn't, but our like high school band every year would go to Disney World and like perform, and they'd get to like go on this Disney trip. And one year this girl, and I can't remember who it was, she shoplifted something at Disney and they caught her and they like sent her home from Disney.
Hey, security at Disney is no joke. You
right?
cannot get away with anything.
Yeah.
They are on it.
Good.
They are on it immediately. I'm just telling you, they're on it immediately. That's the one place. Don't shoplift something. Somebody's watching you. Don't do
anyone
it.
Anyone here is listening and is going to Disney and is thinking of shoplifting.
Don't.
Think again.
Don't do it. They're tracking your every move, I'm sure.
But isn't that like such a bummer? Because I remember it being, and I'm sure my friends, if I had asked them, would know who this was. But like, I remember it being someone who was like really nice, really like a good student, like just decided, like, couldn't they have been like, you can't leave your Disney room tonight, you know, or something. Like, they had to send her home. It's so crazy. It's like, she's already probably paid for whatever she stole with those prices at Disney. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Folks, who's with me? Ladies, take a breather. Guys, back me up. I mean, seriously, you're already getting robbed. If anything, she's just balancing out the scales. Who's got a birthday here, folks? Hello.
This is our app. We're already building it. This is incredible.
Wouldn't it be great if she had used that argument? You know what? Based on the
oh my God.
Obviously the Chinese child labor that you're using and overpricing, if anything, I was like, what if that was her argument?
It's something that Jonah definitely would have done. We've talked about in other episodes that Jonah was already going to the principal's office, I think, because he felt like that our cafeteria was selling Pizza Hut pizza for too high of a price.
It was $1.50 a slice. And I remember making like a big deal out of it and then being basically like, Jonah, just don't buy it if you think it's overpriced. I'd be like, but if you buy whole pizza, it's like $7. Why is a slice $1? Like,
capitalism, man.
I know.
Capitalism.
I know. I was a pretty fun kid to be around, I'm sure.
Wow.
That's what you would have said if you stole a piece of pizza, which a hard thing to conceal. But if you stole a piece of pizza, you'd be like, I've already paid for this pizza in the past few weeks I've bought, you know.
By the way, quick asterisk. I know I don't want to take us off topic of field trips. Well, this kind of fits into field trips.
Go ahead.
I saw someone post this online. I forgot who posted it, but it is true. Water tastes different and better in those big red thick plastic Pizza Hut cups that they come out in, the big tall tumblers. When you're in that ice water, when they bring the ice water on a hot day, when you're on a field trip and that hits the table first, there's nothing more refreshing than ice water out of those big, tall, hard plastic tumblers at Pizza Hut.
I forgot about those. You're totally right.
Oh, man. Now I want pizza. Oy.
Oh, God. By the way, Meredith has a condition that I've named and made up, but it's true. I call it Manchurian Candidate. If she sees a food item or talks about it long enough, she will have to have it immediately.
I'm like an advertiser's dream. Like,
she really is.
Yeah. Just mention something and I'll be like, yes, I need that right now. I'm dying. But it really only regarding food.
Right.
Not items. But if they show anything on TV that looks remotely delicious, I must.
She goes, I gotta have that food right now.
Oh my God, now my stomach's growling.
No, I'm similar to that. I don't know why this made me think of it, but the Pizza Hut thing made me think of like when we used to, this was sort of like a modified field trip. After we would play softball, sometimes we would get to go to Dairy Queen, which I don't know why those things were related, but like after baseball games and stuff, like the team would go to Dairy Queen. And I should have known then and there when I was like fully only playing to go to Dairy Queen. That I wasn't really interested in sports.
It's a place to feed a lot of kids. Really easy, really cheap.
Yeah, that's true.
Friendlies, Dairy Queen, here's where we go. And it's also a great place where if the team's lost, everyone's bummed out, but you're like, but I got to do team building here. Let's all take them someplace to eat together.
Yeah, like I'd be like, oh, our team lost, but I'm getting ice cream. I guess, yeah, that's all I care about. Like,
yeah.
I'd be like, you know, our team loses a lot. That's kind of fine. But yeah, going to Dairy Queen together also felt like kind of like a little bit of a field trip because you were going with people that, you know, you went to school with that you played, I guess, softball with or whatever. And it feels so adult to be in a public place with your schoolmates when you like are used to only seeing them at school.
Totally. It's a whole, it's out of context friendship. It's like you're a certain way in school, but when you go on a field trip, it's totally a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's different people that you're excited about and you're doing more grown-up things and it's got different energy and the energy with the teacher, like you're not in the classroom, so things are different. It's just a whole thing.
Yeah. I guess it must have been really stressful for like the teachers. It's a lot of kids to keep track of.
Imagine losing one of those kids.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Terrifying.
And every kid is just scheming to do something.
Totally.
They should do. Yes.
They're all like just looking for a way to like do something. What can we get away with?
Exactly.
What can we get away with?
This wasn't a field trip, but I just want to tell this story really quickly. One time we were in Washington, D.C. We were at the Smithsonian. It was, I think, our cousins who lived in D.C. We were there visiting them for something. And Jonah, I don't know if you remember this, but we were looking at like the scariest bugs in one of the Smithsonians.
The insect zoo.
The insect zoo. That's where we were.
It's amazing. Yep.
We were looking at this thing that was like a cross between like almost like looked like a huge sloth or something. Not sloth. A huge.
That'd be scary. Insect that looked like a sloth.
Wait, what?
It's too thick and furry.
Almost like a huge.
Like a slug?
Slug. That's the word I was thinking of.
It was probably a giant snail out of its shell, those huge cephalopods that just come out and...
It was just this huge, really scary looking thing. And we were with our cousin Mia. I don't think she would, either of you would remember this, but she was looking at it and you scared her. Like you went like, boo. And she got so freaked out.
Oh man, what a jerk. Sorry about that, Mia.
But it was actually a funny prank. I'm sure she got over it pretty quickly. But that insect, what's it called? It's called the insect zoo?
The insect zoo. I took Alice there when she was, I took our daughter there. I think she was like 3 or 4 because she loves bugs. And they had the giant cephalopods that the person would take out and the size of a forearm. And also they had the Madagascar hissing beetle that they would, gigantic cockroach that if you stroke it, it goes. It does this weird hiss. And our daughter held that in her hand. And I remember just going, that's not my kid because I can't even watch this happening right now. I'm freaking out so hard. And she's just like trying to make it hiss louder. I'm like,
oh my God.
So
that's so crazy.
Oh boy.
And the big tarantulas, they had all those.
Oh
big...
God. Nope.
Sorry.
Nope.
And on that note, we'll take a commercial break and we'll be right back and we'll never talk about tarantulas again.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So our next segment, you guys, is called Change.Dork.
Change.Dork.
Now, you're probably familiar with Change.org's mission for social change, but a lot of people who use the site apparently aren't. So we go online sometimes and we find petitions on Change.org that we think are pretty interesting and funny and examples of people kind of using this site in the wrong way. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to read you three petitions. And at the end of this, we'll all say which one we would sign if we had to sign one.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And when Vanessa says we, it's pretty much I do it. And I have all these incredible keywords I use. And I've gotten pretty,
yeah,
pretty
Jonah
proud of
finds
it.
These petitions. Yeah.
So I'll kick us off. The first one is called Arby's Bring Back Potato Cakes. This is a short one, and I want you to just note, Vanessa, point out the tone of this person.
Okay.
Arby's, in their infinite wisdom, decided to remove potato cakes from the menu after all these years. It is a very beloved product by millions of customers throughout the United States, and they are very short-sighted for doing so, all because of adding a new product, crinkle-cut French fries. These fries are in no way a replacement for the potato cakes. Too many corporate decisions like this are being made at beloved restaurants.
Damn.
By short-sighted bureaucrats and corporate offices.
Damn.
Please, Arby's, bring back what we love. And okay, so this is directed towards Arby's corporate headquarters. It's trying to get 7,500 signatures. It has 6,542.
Wow.
Which is more than you might think.
Yeah. Especially for someone being so sarcastic.
Yeah.
And especially keep in mind, this is change.org. So,
right.
Okay, is this the right place for this? I don't know. Maybe. But what do you two think about Arby's bringing back the potato cakes? I never even heard of these.
I've never, ever in my life been to Arby's. And when Patton and I were first texting each other before we met each other when we were just sort of getting to know each other. My birthday was coming up and he said something like, oh, I'll take you to Arby's for your birthday, like as a joke, because we didn't meet each other till like 3 months later, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I've never been and I'm dying to go just so that I can say I've had that roast beef sandwich because, but I don't know anything. So I don't know those fries. Honey, do you know those?
No, but I do know that the impulse to try to bring back some pop culture slash popular product that goes off the menu, it feels like it's a boredom killer and a time filler for people. There was that whole thing about the Szechuan sauce at McDonald's a few years back. All the Rick and Morty fans like literally attacked McDonald's locations trying to get it. McDonald's has leaned into that way before that when they bring the McRib back randomly. You never know when it'll be back or when it'll be gone.
Right.
Oh, we hear about that from our dad all the time.
Did your dad have a tracker or something?
Yeah. He loves the McRib. We always know when it's back.
I don't follow fast food enough to know all the little ins and outs and little side products. I'm sure that there are people.
Shamrock shake.
Yeah. There are certain food items that are like, oh, this is the best. And why do they take that away? But the sarcasm of the post feels like I just want to feel like I have control over something.
I think he really wants them back, man. I think he does.
No, I'm not saying he doesn't. What I'm saying is like, there's bigger things in my life that are also going wrong that clearly we have no control over.
Right.
And then to add insult to injury, they took away my potato cakes. Like I'm already participating in all this other exploitative stuff that's ruining my life. How dare you take away the one thing that was giving me pleasure?
Maybe you feel like you kind of can get a petition. I think you can change that. It's like, we want to change gun reform laws. It's taking forever and always, but like tell something to a corporation, like bring this back. A lot of people get behind it. They're like, oh, free advertising. Let's bring it back.
Yeah.
You can actually do those stupid little things, perhaps, because the big things are just too hard to change.
And to be fair, there is a lot of gun control kind of petitions done here. But then there's also people who came here to get potato cakes back.
Yeah. Right.
I just love that Jonah explores the fringe outskirts of the change.org universe and finds.
Yes.
You find the equivalent of those people that set up a tent outside the White House, but their only petition is to like save the ring-tailed squirrel. Like that's their whole thing is we've got to, and no one even knows why they're doing it anymore. And you're like, oh, that's just their thing.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that we thought that this was like so funny to find these things. But I feel like when we signed on to change.org about a month ago, the big thing that the website had helped do was like bring Mexican pizza back to Taco Bell, I think. So they were like, congratulations. You've brought Mexican pizza back to Taco Bell.
Great. Now I want that.
It's a discontinued Taco Bell. And what's funny is my friends had a Taco Bell themed podcast. There's some conspiracy theories that Taco Bell keeps running out of them. And my friends have a podcast called For 7-Inch Club. They think it's like, that's even marketing. Like they're pretending to run
out
to increase the demand, like the fried chicken sandwiches at all these other places. Like, oh, you can't get it. You know, it's like they have all these ingredients already. And this is what these guys are saying. I mean, it's like just the packaging.
100%.
So I think they may be onto something.
But see, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm misremembering this wrong. I thought that the Mexican pizza at Taco Bell went away because it was actually bad and people didn't like it, or they do like it. I can't remember.
I don't know why they take stuff away and add it all the time, but it's probably like for you too, probably you put out like a comedy album, you know, some people don't like it, and then 5 years later, they're like, that's my favorite album.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that happens a lot. Like as people get older, then all of a sudden they love this thing that they didn't, you know, so I don't know. I think it's all marketing.
All my friends now that are my age are going back and repurchasing all of their albums that are now being put out nostalgically on old 80s style cassette tapes because they want them in the little racks on the wall for that look. They're bringing back the nostalgic.
Yep.
They don't want to listen to it on cassette tape.
Right.
Yeah.
They want this nostalgic object, which means they had LPs, then cassette tapes came along, which replaced LPs, then got replaced by CDs, then got replaced by LPs out of nostalgia, which are now getting replaced by cassette tapes. I don't know, like, it's just never ending.
Yeah, I was going to get rid of my CD collection of 3,000 CDs. Now people are starting to get back into CDs. I'm like, I guess I should hold on to them.
Hang on to them. Just wait.
I'm just going to wait. Vanessa, do you want to introduce our second petition?
Yes. And I will say, I kind of remember these potato cakes. I feel like they're just like hash browns.
Oh, I love hash browns.
Okay, don't say that to Meredith. Oh,
sorry.
My God.
Okay, let's move on to the second petition.
Okay.
Which is, Make Wine-O-Ween a real holiday. So this woman started this petition. She started it to the National Association of American Wineries.
This one's really long, so maybe just read an excerpt, I think.
Okay, okay. She wrote, "Holidays are tough on moms. Doesn't matter the holiday. Christmas? Moms. Thanksgiving? Moms. Even Mother's Day. We make dinner, we clean it up. Not complaining, but if we could add some additional holidays that make moms sit down, relax, connect, and drink a glass of wine, we'd be all over it."
Hmm.
So she wants to add Wine-O-Ween to the calendar to add some lighthearted fun. Let the kids eat candy, but moms love wine. Let us have something for ourselves. Perhaps let us exchange wine bottles with a neighbor. Again, asking permission for something she definitely could do on her own. But perhaps after trick-or-treating, we get together and connect. It's like, just ask your neighbor to hang out, lady.
Just have a Halloween party and serve wine.
Why are you so nervous to hang out with your neighbor? Okay, how about we sit down for 5 seconds, pretend that our lives still matter, and it is not a groundhog day of making dinner, taking kids to baseball practice, and figuring out that we have, quote, mom butt.
Okay.
Okay, here goes. Participation is easy. Get your wine tumbler, fill it with your favorite drink. When trick-or-treating, if you find a house with a wine-colored pumpkin out front, you know you can stop and grab a splash of wine.
Oh my God, literally every Halloween party, yeah, you serve wine to the adults. I don't understand. What yeah. Why do we have to call it?
She is making up a thing that has not been taken away from her in any way. Basically, what she's done is, I don't want to have to throw the party. Can I just wander the streets of my neighborhood with a tumbler?
Drink wine.
And then just hold it out and people dump wine into it. It's like, lady, I think you have way more problems here than missing this holiday.
You want free wine.
You want to be drunk in public. You want to be drunk in public. That's what you want, Joe. I want to be drunk in public.
Well, she also, it's like, she's like, I'm not complaining, but every day feels like Groundhog's Day and like I'm cleaning
oh,
up.
Oh, honey.
It feels like you are complaining and maybe this isn't the place to do it. I don't know. And as our producer Olivia pointed out, there is a wine.
National Wine Day.
There's National Wine Day.
People are really into wine now. It kind of reminds me of like 10 years ago when everyone was like really into bacon and they were like, you should put bacon on everything and bacon.
Oh, yes.
There's a bacon restaurant. And now I feel like it's like just pop culture gets really into something that's always been around.
I remember I went to a bar and they had a like a breakfast shot. It wasn't like whiskey, but like also they gave you a piece of bacon with it.
Yep.
It was like breakfast.
Yeah.
I believe it.
I like bacon. I don't drink whiskey, but I'm just saying, like, I knew there was this place that actually served bacon with the drink.
Yeah.
I was just in Boise, Idaho, and there's a restaurant, I swear to God, called Bacon. And they have little bacon shooters, six kind of bacon. It was a started off as a bar years ago, but the guy started making this maple-infused bacon that he would sell, and then got so popular that he just started selling the bacon, and he has all kinds of bacon. But now, that said, the bacon that I got there was incredible. And Boise is the kind of place where a bacon restaurant can easily sustain. That's no problem. But yeah, these pop culture rabbit holes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was just going to say, I was at a party. And you know how people bring things to the party? Like someone brings a bottle of wine, someone brings a six pack, somebody came into the party with a bouquet of bacon. So it was like skewers. They put the bacon, like smooshed it up at the top, like accordioned the bacon on each skewer. So it looked like a flower at the top. And they were all like cooked with like brown sugar. So it was like candy. It was like brown sugar candy bacon. And they served it in a bouquet.
Wow.
I thought, oh my God, that is amazing.
Wow.
I loved it. Wow. I was like, give me one of those.
Yay.
This is a great segue into our final petition, which is called simply Bono and John Bon Jovi Vegan Challenge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a short one and maybe the most bizarre one. Today, while I was walking down to the underground, one of my foolish ideas came to mind. What if I was able to challenge my two favorite rock stars and ask them, I'm going to clean up some of this. There's a few typos. Ask them to go vegan and influence millions of people, showing them a way of kindness and ethic, respect to all loving being, saving millions of animals and the world at the same time, since the meat industry is responsible for 45% of the CO2 emission. So here's my challenge to you, Bono and John. Please join me and help me save the world. And the photo is a photo of John Bon Jovi and Bono together, but
wow,
it looks really old. I mean, this photo looks like 30 years old and probably they're just at an event together. I don't know if they were plotting like a vegan diet to change the world. But what do you think of the Bono and John Bon Jovi vegan petition?
I mean, I don't know.
Pat and I literally just talked about this last week about being vegan. And I think it's amazing to get people to get on board. We are not vegan, but we both feel like the world would be better if we were, if everyone were. but like we just literally neither one of us really have any willpower to be vegan.
It's such a hard place to reach. It's like where the beets have no name, you know, like it just feels mm-hmm. like I don't want to give chard a bad name. Like that's the thing that I'd be worried about, you know.
Oy vey.
So what?
You're adorable.
I'm just living on a turnip. You know, that's what I'm. What?
I would sign a petition for that. I think getting anyone to go vegan is a good thing, even though I just could never.
I have a couple issues with this petition. One is, I think if you want to send a petition to Bono and John Bon Jovi, maybe proofread it first.
That might
There's
help.
There's a lot exactly. of typos in here. That's why Jonah was kind of having a hard time reading it. Second, Bono and John Bon Jovi probably are vegan. I don't know that that's going to help other, like, it's like, I feel like right. those rock stars don't really share.
Bono's probably already there. I don't know about Bon Jovi.
And why together? Like, why do they have to do it together?
Well, they're his two favorite rock stars, but.
I just think that, you know, I think Bono's already eating tempeh, bloody tempeh, but I don't know if like John Bon Jovi, what?
What, he's living on a prayer? Is that the right band?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
I said earlier, living on a turnip. You missed it.
No, I didn't miss it. I mean, I heard you as I was also speaking.
It just feels like they're probably already vegan, or maybe they're vegan. And like, I don't know. I just don't know that people like rich rock stars, like, yeah, he probably has a chef that can make him vegan food. It doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I've been just struggling so much with trying to come up with another pun.
Jonah loves puns.
A food, Bon Jovi. I had to look up some songs. The best I could do was Born to Be My Baby Corn.
There you go. I mean, what more in the name of kale, really, at this point? That's what I've always wondered.
I also admire veganism, but I do feel like if there was an article in Rolling Stone that was like, John Bon Jovi and Bono say go vegan, I feel like that would, I'd be like, okay, I don't know if this is really the thing that's going to push me over. Like,
no, exactly.
I don't yeah. know.
Right.
You know what I mean? It would feel a little bit artificial. I think this guy has good intentions, but I'm not sure this is the way to build awareness for this diet.
Right. We're in between having the rock star performer that has captured all of the youth kind of en masse. I mean, where we have very loyal camps, like there's the BTS and the K-pop stands, and then there's the
sure.
Swifties and stuff. But we don't have that, you know, there was certain eras of like, you know, Axl Rose and Bowie and Prince, like that just commanded everyone for a while. We haven't gotten to that next person that if they said something, it would change everything, you know?
Yes.
We're not there yet.
Maybe there's too many people now. It's like hard to be like a standout. Because there's so many people, you know?
I feel like maybe if Harry Styles said he was vegan, he could maybe get a lot of...
He probably is, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure he is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looks vegan.
Skinny and hot.
Skinny and hot.
Speaking of skinny and hot, it's time to vote. So I'm going to reread the names of these petitions and everyone's going to choose one to sign.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, Arby's bring back potato cakes. Number two, make wine-o-ween a real holiday. And finally, number three, Bono and John Bon Jovi vegan challenge. This is tough.
I'll tell you which one I'm going to pick because it's actually not that tough for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick the potato cakes. And here's why.
Okay.
Because as we pointed out, the wine-o-ween, just go drink wine with your friends.
Right.
Bon Jovi. And even if that petition worked, it wouldn't make more people vegan. If they could bring back potato cakes, it might make people feel like, oh, I did this thing. I did affect some change. What other things might I be able to change? Like that could be the prelude to making someone go, well, if I brought back potato cakes, well, who's to say I can't get rid of guns? Like today it's potato cakes, tomorrow it's guns.
Right.
There's hope in bringing back potato cakes.
Yes. Yes.
That's exactly why I would choose the potato cakes one. I also feel like just personally for that guy who started the petition, I feel like him knowing that he actually did something
right.
that he was able to do would just make him a very happy person. I feel like if you're going to go and make a petition on change.org that, you know, he accomplished something, he did it and he like set his mind to and yeah.
Yes. He'll feel better.
Yeah.
And it's a little thing, but it would give him happiness. And then maybe if they bring it back, I'll go try it since I've never been to Arby's. Seems like something now that I've been told about it, I might want to check out.
Yeah. And Pat, you promised to take her too. So you got to do it.
He did.
Baby, I'll take you to Arby's. I got to we will come full circle and I will fulfill the first promise I ever made her, which is I will take you to Arby's for your birthday.
Well, you did take me to Arby's after the Emmys when you lost.
But we didn't eat there. We just recreated a picture.
We didn't eat there, but we just sat outside the Arby's and hugged. There's a picture, because the year before Patton won an Emmy, and there's a picture of him with his Emmy at Arby's, and then a year later there's a picture of him without his Emmy.
I'm like sitting out in front of Arby's by myself as a joke, going like, hey, this Emmy after party is really kicking off, and I'm just sitting by myself outside of Arby's with my Emmy at night. And then so when I got next year, we recreated the photo with just me and I'm kissing Meredith, like, well, I didn't win, but the consolation prizes are pretty great.
Oh, that's very sweet.
So Arby's was served as the backdrop to a experience in our lives.
Got it.
I've just never eaten there.
Although there was a video that kind of went around a couple weeks ago. There's a podcast. These guys had never eaten at Arby's and always just made fun of it like everybody. And then they actually started eating the Arby's food. It was funny because A, they're loving it. That's the, but the second funny thing was like, does this mean we can't make fun of Arby's anymore? And that now I'm going to want Arby's all the time? Because I just thought Arby's sucked and everything that you've given us so far is really good. And like, they're actually getting angry. At one point, this guy bites one of the mozzarella sticks and he just goes.
Like, makes a delicious face. What do you vote for, you guys?
Yeah, what do you vote for?
I'm going to go with the bring back the potato cakes as well. Oh. This is the only one to me that I think I would actually would affect me. I also like the tone of this. I like that he's going off the corporate bureaucrats. I like the first sentence is Arby's and their infinite wisdom. I like the condescending, humorous tone. I like going after the CEOs, and I like hash browns. So
yeah.
Checks all the boxes for me. Vanessa, what about you?
Well, I think would sign this one. It seems like the only one that like really technically would work.
It seems like the only one based in reality, kind of.
Based in reality, exactly. But also I would sign it because I would think maybe if this guy got his petition signed, he'd stop being such a smug asshole.
Or would it create a monster?
Maybe.
Where he's like, Bono and Bon Jovi are at my beck and call. Who shall I summon next?
Right.
We don't know. That could go both ways. You're right. It could go both ways.
Right. So anyways, it sounds like we're all in for potato cakes. We'll see if we actually all sign on to change.org and actually sign. Probably won't happen, but good for that guy who made that petition.
Good for that guy.
So beautiful.
Well, you guys, this was so much fun. Where can people find you?
Well, you can always listen to our podcast, Did You Get My Text, over at Starburns Audio. It drops every Tuesday. Meredith and I catch up on our texts, catch up on our lives together. It goes in so many crazy directions.
Yeah. And if you have stars and you want to see Patton in Gaslit, it's a really cool show about the Nixon administration.
Oh, that's right.
Super good.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And then he's got a show called The Sandman coming out soon. When's that, honey?
The Sandman drops Friday, August 5th on Netflix. Same day that my film, I Love My Dad, drops.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I Love My Dad won the Audience Award and the Grand Jury Prize at the South by Southwest Film Festival.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations. Incredible.
That'll be coming out.
It's actually really, really good.
Also, in August, you can get my new comic book, Minor Threats, which will be dropping from Dark Horse on Wednesday the 24th. Look, I like making stuff, people. I'm not going to apologize.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that's incredible.
I like doing stuff.
I guess I did a really thorough intro for you earlier in this podcast.
He was on King of Queens. I met him once on another show. Yeah. I saw him eating a pretzel. Ladies and gentlemen, Patton Oswalt.
I saw him eating a pretzel.
And you can always follow Meredith Salinger on Twitter and Instagram. Her feeds are a delight.
Oh, please. You could have said she also had a movie at South by Southwest called The Prank.
Oh, and that she did with Rita Moreno.
But that's okay.
Sorry.
You can look at my Twitter.
And also check out her Twitter. She takes pictures of things.
Incredible.
A lot to check out.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. That's not what I meant. You realize I wasn't trying to like.
Literally laughing, but I love you. And so it's mine.
And Meredith, what is the name of your film?
Well, it's Rita Moreno's film and it's called The Prank. And I'm just.
The Prank.
Yeah, I'm in it also.
Okay, incredible. Everyone will have to check it out.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, that was so much fun, you guys. There are so many places to check you out and so many petitions that you'll be checking out, I'm sure. Thanks so much to Patton and Meredith for joining us. And to everyone for listening. If you enjoyed that, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like field trips. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. That was so fun.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.